I'm going to throw a bunch of passages at you real quick, and we're going to talk about submission. And that's a tough topic. So don't get up and leave. Hang in there with me. But we're going to talk about what it means to submit. And so I picked several passages, and we're going to hit them real quick. The first passage is from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 10. And I think I'll put up verse 3 up there. You can go to the next slide, verse 3. But I'm going to read 1 through 4. He says, "Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge." And verse 3 says, "Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own." I wonder how often and how many times we decide to make our own decisions about what's right. And he says, they did not want to submit to God's righteousness. And I think of when we talk about submission, we're going to talk first about submitting to God. And he talks about the Israelites weren't able to submit to God's righteousness. And verse 4 says, "Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." Hebrews 12, 9 through 11. "Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit," see, there's that word again, "how much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits?" In essence, what the writer of Hebrews is saying, how much more should we not submit to God? We've had earthly fathers, and maybe not all of our earthly fathers were good, but they were our fathers, and we submitted. He says, why don't we submit to our Heavenly Father? "Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good." That's a hard statement. "God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." James 4, 7. The writer of James says, "Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee." Submission. How do we submit? Verse 13 of Romans says, "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." Well, that's a radical one in our divisive political world, submitting to the authorities that are over us. Paul says everyone must submit himself, herself, to the governing authorities. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 17. "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men and women, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king." Our verse that we're going to probably spend most of our time is Ephesians 5:21. Paul says, "Submit to one another." Submit to one another in reverence for Christ. This is a tough topic, asking people to submit. And then our passage that I'm going to try and tie it to is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 17. "Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. verse 9. Do not repay evil with evil, or insult with insult, but with blessing. How radical is that? How often do we want, when someone hurts us, do we want to hurt someone back? But yet we're supposed to live in harmony with one another. We're supposed to submit to one another in reverence for Christ. He says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessings, because to do this, you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life, and really what Peter does here when he writes this letter to the church, he quotes Psalm 34. Verse 10 is 11 and 12 is an exact almost quote out of the Psalms. So if we were, if we had our Bible open to Psalm 34, verse 13 and 14, he's quoting the Old Testament to us. Whoever would love life, who here loves life? Now here's an instruction for us. Whoever would love life and see good days, well, you got to keep your tongue from evil. Pretty simple, isn't it? Yeah. Or maybe today we won't say keep our tongue from evil. Maybe keep your finger from writing that text or sending that message. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, those words, 10 through 13, are an exact quote from Psalm 34. Verse 13. Excuse me, 10 through 12. Verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You see, this is where I get this resurrection response. This is why I really feel it's important for you to practice here on Sunday morning what the resurrection means to you, because we stand in the hope of the resurrection. I've done 4 funerals in the last 3 weeks. And I can tell you how heartbreaking it is for some of the funerals that I've done, that so many of the people have no hope. They have no hope that their loved one has passed. Our hope is in the power of the resurrection. And Peter says, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed with their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Pretty common sense teachings that Peter has. Paul writes, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. But in those passages, who do we submit to? I think the first person we submit to is God. That's what the Bible would teach us. Submit yourself to God. Submit to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. But it's kind of hard to resist the devil when we haven't submitted ourselves to God. I think we live, and I talked about it last week, we live in a very individualistic or autonomous society where everyone wants to have their own law. their own rule. Well, we don't have to submit to anyone but me. Where everyone's truth is their truth. But the truth is, there is one truth. And if we submit to that truth, we're going to find blessings. So if we submit to God, submit to authorities, submit to one another, he talks about wives submitting to husbands, husbands submitting to wives, and husbands submitting to God and loving their wives. He talks in here about children submitting to their parents. And in this context, he said, slaves, submit to your masters. I would say employees, submit to your employer. We would have different workplaces. Students, submit to your teachers. We would have different schools. But we see this society that takes everything and says, I want it my way. I want to do it my way. I don't have to submit. And yet, there's strong, strong teaching about submit. Submit to God, submit to the authorities that are over us, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So what is the Greek word for submit? It's two words, hupotasso. And the Greek, and it means in Greek is to place under or to rank above. So if we submit to someone, we place ourselves under and we put that person above us. Or we become subject to or obey. That's how it's translated. Every one of us, every day, has a decision if we're going to submit and who we're going to submit to. Sometimes we have those decisions every minute, every hour. Maybe your boss comes in and says, I want you to do X, Y, and Z, and you go, right. Or your husband or your wife comes and says, can you do this? And you go, right. Or, this is a tough topic. And I was not going to speak on it, and then the Holy Spirit said, speak on submit. I was going to try to do serve and submit last week, and the Holy Spirit said, you better do submit. Because we need to talk about what it does it mean to submit. It means to place ourselves under and to rank someone else above. That's tough. It's tough in our society. Who likes to submit? We don't get a hand. It's hard, isn't it? This is a tough topic. I'm doing this Credo Recovery Weekend. I've helped get these weekends started in Illinois and in Long Island. We went to Illinois. I've been to Illinois 3 times to do these weekends in recovery there to get the community started. We went to Long Island 2 times to get the community started. And they deal with people that struggle with addictions. The truth is we all are in recovery in one form or another, and we're all trying to recover from something. Maybe it's not the recovery of alcohol or drugs or other things. But in these weekends, we talk about submitting yourself to God first. The first time I heard about God, I was 12 years old. And I've shared this before. I was at my brother's funeral, and people came through, and they said, your brother Gary is now with Jesus. And I've been thinking a lot about that because I've done 4 funerals in 3 weeks. And I try and tell people about the hope of the resurrection. I'm 12 years old, just days before my 13th birthday. I'm standing at my brother's casket, and people are coming through, and they're patting me on the head, and they're saying, it's okay, your brother's with Jesus now. Well, I went to my grandmother who raised me, and I said, Nanny, my brother Gary's with Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. How do I do that? Well, she says, you just need to ask Jesus into your heart. and give your life to him. And so I said, okay, I prayed the prayer with my nanny, but I didn't understand that he wanted to be Lord of my life. So at 13, I started drinking, trying to cover up my pain. Went off in college and met my wife. We got married. I was still struggling with my pain. And it wasn't until after she became a Christian and she brought me to a study on Romans, where in the book of Romans it says that Jesus wants to be Lord of your life, did I realize that I just knew Jesus kind of like a lucky charm. I carried him around in my pocket. If I had him in my pocket, I'm going to go to heaven. But then I was just living my life from 13 to 25 for myself. The thing about Christianity is, we're all going to have a confrontation with the cross in our lives. Every one of us. We're going to have a confrontation with the cross. And what that confrontation is are we going to kneel and submit to what God has done for us on the cross? Will we place ourselves under that authority? That's what submission is. And that's where it begins, right there. If we learn to submit ourselves to God first and foremost, then we learn how to submit ourselves to one another and love one another and greet one another and honor one another and be devoted to one another and live in harmony with one another. George Mueller, who was a pastor and started orphanages in England, he was once asked, I'll read the quote here, he was once asked how he lived his life. And he said, there was a day when I died, utterly died. He said, and as he spoke, he bent lower and lower until he almost touched the floor. He said, I died to George Mueller. I died to George Mueller. His opinions, his preferences, his taste, and his will. I died to the world, its approval or censure. He says, I died to the approval or blame of even my brethren and my family. And since then, I have studied only to show myself approved by God. I tell people all the time, you have an audience of one in your life. And that audience is God. And when you submit and surrender, place yourself under God's authority and make him happy, that's all that counts in your life. J. Wilbur Chapman was in London. He was a pastor and teacher, and he had the opportunity to meet General Booth. Booth started the Salvation Army. And at that time, Booth was 80 years old. And Chapman listened carefully as the old general of the Salvation Army spoke about the trials and the conflicts and the victories. And the evangelist, Wilbur Chapman, asked the general if he would disclose secret for success. Just this past week, I went down to the Salvation Army in Anaheim and ministered to my friend Chappie, who his wife died. And he's now back working, and he's 82 years old as the chaplain in the Salvation Army. The Adult Rehabilitation Center has 90 men in it and 30 women that live there that have come off the streets. Salvation Army is helping a lot of people. Their distribution center was a magnificent warehouse with these people cleaning and taking, you know how you give your donations to Salvation Army? He was working there and doing the chaplaincy. And so Chapman went to Booth and said, what's your secret to success? And Booth hesitated a second, and tears started to come down his eyes. And he said, I'll tell you the secret. God has had all there was for me. He said, there have been men with greater brains than I, men with greater opportunities, but from that day, I got the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor of London, and I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth there was. Wow. What would happen if God had all of you? Had all of you. He said, there was a time when I gave up and God had all of what William Booth there was, and if there is anything of power in the Salvation Army today, it is because God has all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and the influence of my life. Dr. Chapman said he went away from the meeting with General Booth knowing that the greatness of a man's power is in the measure of his surrender. So I'll say the greatness of a woman's power is in the measure of your surrender. The greatness of a man's power is in the measure of your surrender or your submission. How do you submit to one another out of reverence for God? That's one of the one another principles. Submit to one another out of reverence for God. Hupotasso, to place or rank above or to place yourself under. That's what the word is. So our lesson today is twofold, and we're going to wrap it up. When Peter writes this letter, he says, I want you to live in harmony with one another. I'm going to go back to it. He says, I want you to live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. The actual Greek word is philadelphios in there. Love as brothers. What he's trying to say is love with a brotherly love. Be compassionate and humble. How do we submit? I think it's in verse 2. We do not repay evil with evil. We don't return insult with insult, but with a blessing. Because if you were called with a blessing, you'll inherit that blessing. I can tell you, if you want to be blessed, it's a simple principle. Bless other people. You can't outgive God's blessing. You can't outgive it. In essence, if we surrender our lives to God first, we're able to surrender our lives to others and submit out of reverence for God. So I came up with a couple little for so whats. I think Dr. Tan had these in his book. He says, surrender isn't giving up something you don't want. It's giving up something you want. Victory isn't walking across the goal line. It's struggling through opposition to a goal. Do you understand that? We're all in a struggle, but the victory is struggling through that opposition to get to the goal. Trust isn't going just where the lights are. It's following in the dark valleys. Love isn't giving when others are giving. It's giving when others are not giving. That's what Paul would teach us. And then faith isn't overflowing to others. Faith is emptying itself for others. I can tell you the first 25 years of my life were really hard, when I didn't submit my life to God. God had to teach me some really, really hard lessons. And he still does teach me some hard lessons, even though I'm 64 now. But I can remember my nanny when I leaned over to kiss her goodbye in 1986 and my cross fell out of my shirt and she grabbed it and said, "Oh, you're going to be a pastor." And I laughed at her. I said, "No, it just means I love Jesus." And she said, "No, you're going to be a pastor someday." And that was 1986. I didn't plan on being a pastor. But in 1992, God started putting that call on my heart, and I had to submit. I had to surrender everything for this call. Don Eddy jokes with people, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, we called Dave to be our pastor. We said, 'Hey, can you move from Texas? We don't have any support, and there's about 8 to 12 or 14 of us, and we don't have any money, but and we don't even know if we can pay you, but would you come and be our pastor?'" Right, Keith? Right, Ruthie? Some of you guys were there, right, Ed and Tina? I was pastoring a large church, and God says, "Are you ready to surrender it? Are you ready to submit? Because I have other plans for you." God has plans for you. I don't know if he's going to call you into the ministry and say, "Oh, you're going to be a pastor someday," but I know that he's going to call you and say, "I want you to surrender this." And you're going, "I kind of like it. I kind of want to hold on to it." But the truth is, when we hold on to whatever God's asking us to surrender, our hands are closed. And he wants us to open up our hands so he can fill them. God works in mysterious ways, but that word hupotasso is a powerful word. When we submit our lives to God, we learn how to submit to the authorities over us. We learn how to submit to one another and bless them. I can tell you, your life will change if you do that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this day and your word on submitting. Let us live in harmony with one another, which means to be like-minded. Help us to be like-minded with you, Lord, and with others, so that we can serve you and honor you and be devoted to you and one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close with a song. Let's